Our sermon today is based on a reading from Hosea chapter 14, verses 5 through 7. God says, I will be like the dew to Israel. He shall blossom like the lily. He shall strike root like the forests of Lebanon. His shoots shall spread out. His beauty shall be like the olive tree, and his fragrance like that of Lebanon. They shall again live beneath my shadow. They shall flourish as a garden. They shall blossom like the vine. Their fragrance shall be like the wine of Lebanon. Thank you, God, for planting us in the garden of your heart. Who doesn't love a beautiful garden, am I right? Who doesn't like wandering flower-strewn paths and seeing bursts of color all around and smelling sweet floral fragrances? I remember the little poem that says, the kiss of the sun for pardon, the song of the birds for mirth. One is nearer God's heart in a garden than anywhere else on earth. Recently, I was invited to visit Joni Markham's remarkable soul-soothing garden. I was surprised at how large it was. It didn't look so huge from the street, but it's really big. What I like most about it is that it had so many nooks and crannies and twists and turns, and such a wonderful abundance and variety of flowers. With every step, I was like, oh, look, here's some irises, and here's some gladiolas, and here's some zinnias. How lovely. Oh, look over here. Here are some vegetables. Joni insisted I take some fresh-picked green beans home for dinner. As someone who is agriculturally challenged, I appreciate a well-tended, beautifully blooming garden. I have ideas for my own dream garden when I finally develop a green thumb. I will plant all different kinds of flowers. I will plant daffodils, my favorites. They will remind me of my college campus in the spring, and I will remember how I picked them for my friends, and I'll say a prayer of gratitude for those friends. I will have lilacs because they will remind me of my mother. She always wanted to have a lilac bush outside her kitchen window, and they smell so good. I will have irises because they come in such a great rainbow of colors, and they will remind me of the Iris Circle, a women's discipleship and fellowship group that started in the church I served in London, Kentucky, and still remains strong today through the wonder of technology. They Zoom every Sunday afternoon and have lunch each month. They even came out and visited me a few years ago, if you recall. In my garden, I will have roses in all different colors, and they'll grow because they are in a perfect garden. And I'll have red hot pokers and that wonderful yellow bush that smells like candy, Spanish broom. I can see myself getting lost among the blooms and blossoms, just as I wandered in Joni's garden. You know who else who loves and appreciates a good growing garden? God, for sure. One of the first things God created was a garden, the Garden of Eden. And God's garden, both here on earth and in heaven above, is full of different types of flowers, and that is a wonderful thing. There's not just one kind of flower in God's garden. There's all kinds of flowers, plants and people with different gifts and different callings and different colors, all serving the master gardener. They all grow under the same sun of God's grace and drink in the same water of God's eternal love, and there is room for each and every one of them. We can learn a lot from God's garden. In the scripture passage we heard from Hosea, God was reassuring the returning Israelite exiles, soothing their sorrow and erasing their embarrassment with images of growth and goodness, telling the weary people they would come home again and flourish as a garden. It was interesting doing the research or exegesis on this passage because only a few translations use the phrase flourish as a garden. Most of the translations say things such as they will revive as the corn. One commentator explained that it means corn falls into the ground and dies, but when spring comes, it revives and at length it yields an abundant harvest. So this phrase is essentially telling us that what seems dead will spring to life again. And if you're like me, you think corn means corn, like corn on the cob, but actually it means wheat or grain. And indeed, several translations say the restored people will be given life as the wheat, or they shall live by wheat. Other translations say they will revive as the grain, or grow like grain, or flourish like grain, or they will raise grain again. Expanding that last idea, Several translations say the transplanted people will plant crops that give them plenty of food. They will plant and harvest grain in abundance. They shall grow an abundance of corn or, again, wheat. Some translations say their grain will flourish. One translation says the people will be like a watered garden, protected and tended to and loved. Now, if you were in my Sunday school class, you'd watch the video series on how the Bible came to be with us, and none of this would come as a surprise. You would know about all the many different translations and how they came to be, and even now, as we continue to learn about languages and find new sources are discovered, translations are refined and nuanced. I don't know enough Hebrew to go to the original sources and find out why some translations talk about grain and others talk about gardens. I bet Luke Timothy Johnson, the instructor on the video, could. But however we translate it, the promise is sure. God will heal the people's backslidings and restore them to a flourishing state because God has forgiven and forgiven them and welcomed them back from exile. The redeemed, restored people will prosper. They will flourish. They will bloom and grow in God's garden. They will be safe under God's protection, and they will have plenty to grow. God will restore and revive them, covering them like refreshing, pardoning drops of dew. The image is of physical growth, but it also points to spiritual growth. It tells us of the steadiness of seeds sown in hope, of plants watered with love, of the joy of blooms bursting into the light full of color and possibility. The word says Israel, meaning, yes, the actual nation, but it also includes us, spiritual. We will bloom like the lily, the most special of flowers. We will set down roots like the cedars in the forests of Lebanon, deep and abiding. Our branches will spread out, become a haven and a refuge for all sorts of birds from all different places. We will be as beautiful and flavorful and health-inducing as an olive tree, and will smell good too. We'll live beneath God's own shadow, not a dark shadow, but a shade of shelter. There are no weeds in God's garden because all those who were planted there have been redeemed and renewed. They will always flourish. They will never wither. They will always be a reminder of God's grace and goodness. We will be blobs of beauty in the dark, stark world. We will testify to the light and joy and providence of God, and our roots will go deep and our branches will reach high into the sky. The word we heard from Habakkuk sounds dire and dour, yet it inspires hope. Yeah, things are not always hunky-dory in our earthly story. Yeah, there are woes and ills, famine and dearth, people planting but ending up with nothing to show for their hard work. And yet, there is still reason to rejoice in God. God's Spirit will all be with us always, moisturizing the earth and our souls, splashing hope into our hearts and making us grow. In the descriptions of the lily, the olive, the cedar forests of Lebanon, the vines and the wine, we find the characteristics God wants us to have. God wants us to be rooted and grounded in love, ever growing, ever green, upright, unshakable, steadfast and strong and useful and productive, nourishing others as well as ourselves, and just beautiful. We have been planted in God's garden. In God's garden, how can you help but flourish? Everything in God's garden bears fruit and grows well. We have been covered with reconciliation, redemption, and restoration. God wants us to spread the fragrance of love and the good news of Jesus Christ all throughout this garden and beyond. God wants us to be bouquets of hope wherever we go. You hold the key to making the world a better and brighter place because God has chosen you and planted you in the garden of his heart. You're a bouquet of blessings, so be the bouquet someone needs today to help them remember and rejoice and keep on growing. After my visit to her garden was over, Joni gave me a bunch of gladiolas to remember her by, and her garden too. So Joni, here's your vase. Please refill. Thank you. Let us pray. God, you are great and gracious. You are a great and gracious gardener. Continue to water and tend to us with your love and your light so that we may grow and flourish in your beautiful garden. Amen.
All to him I owe. Sin.